Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, and today I have Harold Berman and Gail Reglin Schaefer Berman, and they have written an incredible book. First of all, they live in Efrat. Now they wrote a book called Double Life, One Family, Two Faiths, and a Journey of Hope. How are you today? How's everything? Okay?
Great.
Well, that's good. I have to tell you that the book is absolutely, really fantastic. It builds and builds and builds and builds. And it's interesting. I want to just kind of give an overview of what the book's about, you know, kind of a quick synopsis, and I'll get into some questions about it, okay? Either one of you or both, whatever you want.
Okay.
Well, essentially, we started off married life. I grew up as a pretty, you know, secular, assimilated Jew. Gail grew up not Jewish. And when we met, you know, the idea of being a Jewish family was, I think it's fair to say, the furthest thing from our mind. And more than that, Gail was actually the minister of music in a Texas megachurch at the time. So I think we probably would have been any Jewish, you know, any curative workers' nightmare. And this is really what the book is about, is through a long series of twists and turns, you know, here we are, an Orthodox Jewish family living in Efrat. You know, if somebody had said to us 15 years ago that, you know, this is where we'd be, we would have thought they were crazy. You know, I think it's really a tribute to just the power of Torah and the power of what the Orthodox community really has to offer people, that we are where we are.
Okay, Gail?
Oh, I'm supposed to add to that.
Well, I thought maybe you wanted to add something to that, maybe. Okay.
Okay. It's kind of hard to get involved with saying too much about it without going on and on and on, which I don't want to do.
Right. And I think it's good for people, if they read the book, they get a real sense of what's going on. But it's an incredible journey. One that's really, truly remarkable. But the thing is this, that, I mean, you know, early on when you read the book, I mean, both of you were always very spiritual kind of people before. I mean, and that's what I think, in a way, kind of propelled you. First of all, I think that, in a way, from when I read it, I could be wrong. I'm a businessman. I'm not a marriage counselor. But it seems to me that, you know, that part of the attraction that you both had was that you were both spiritual people in your own way, correct?
Well, that's an interesting point, because I make the point in the book that before I met Harold, I really, you know, since I was this devout Christian, quote-unquote, I really believed at the time that the only way to heaven was, you know, to have, you know, accept Jesus as your personal Savior, kind of thing. But when I met Harold, I realized, I actually came to the realization that that was not true, because I really saw Harold having a relationship with who I called God at the time. Now I say Hashem. But I saw Harold have a strong relationship with God, and I sensed that deeply. He thinks now that he was totally assimilated and wasn't involved with Judaism, but I saw something anyway there as far as his relationship. And, of course, at the time, I was quite involved with Christianity, and as a director of music, and I'd been director of music for a long time, church organist, church choir director, and that was just such a huge part of my life that at the time, before I met Harold, I thought, oh, there's no way I'd ever marry a Jew, you know?
Right.
And it's almost like Hashem had other plans for us.
Well, the format of the book, you know, for the people who were out there, the format of the book are letters that were written back and forth. Now, I mean, there were years, I know, that you were apart when he was going to school and you were in different places, but many years you were together. Did you write the letters even knowing that you might want to write a book someday? Or why did you write these letters if you were living in the same house?
It's a good question. It's a question that comes up a lot. We did write a number of letters to each other over the course of our marriage, and then on top of that, there were journal entries, you know, notes, different things. You know, we obviously didn't start out our marriage thinking we were going to write a book, because we certainly had no idea this is where things were going to go. But when we decided to sit down and write the book, we had some letters, and then we realized that this was really a good way for the reader to kind of eavesdrop on the conversation. That instead of just each of us talking to the reader, that what this was really about in terms of our own journey was us talking to each other. So the letters were a great way to do that. So some of the letters in the book are real letters, and the others are all they're memorializations of actual conversations that really took place. So everything in the book are things we said to each other, but not all necessarily in letter form at the time.
I got you. Okay, now it makes a little bit more sense. I was kind of wondering about that myself.
Yeah.
It seems strange. Like you're living in the same house and you're sending each other letters. It's even worse than writing emails to each other, But or maybe sending each other a tweet. But anyway, okay. So that answered that question. I was curious about that. Now, I think that there's a lot to learn from your experience. And one of the things that that I got out of the book is you got to meet so many Jewish people who didn't know much about being Jewish, or who thought Jewish was maybe eating a bagel, and that's surprising. And from your point of view, I'd like to understand why you think that is. Why do we have this? For an intellectual group of people that we are, why do we have so many Jews who know very little about what being Jewish is about?
I think there are a few reasons for that. I think some of it is actually a lot of it, and we've come across many of these people. They're just not raised with it, they're raised with kind of a minimalist Judaism, and they think that's what it is. You go through Hebrew school a couple hours a week, you have your bar mitzvah, and then you're done. And there's a lot of people out there like that. That I think is a lot of it right there, just a lack of exposure.
So you think if you give them the education, or is it just they don't want to change their way of life, or is it an intellectual?
I think there's some of that too. Yeah, I think there's some of not wanting to change the way of life. There's a lot of rationalization that goes on. The other thing, and Gail makes this point in the book where she's starting to get into Judaism. There's what we've come to call the peoplehood issue. Nobody talks about the Catholic people or the Protestant people. There is no such thing. It's a religion. Period. We're not. We're a people, and that's a wonderful thing. But as Gail talks about in the book, it also, I think, for people who either don't want to observe or haven't been exposed to it or whatever, it's the perfect out. It's, I'm just Jewish. I'm just a cultural Jew. I'm just, I don't have to observe, and I'm still Jewish. And that's true. They are still Jewish. But unfortunately, they miss this incredibly vital dimension, which is the reason why we're a people in the first place.
Okay. This journey you've taken has taken you all over. You, Harold, it seemed you were moving. Here you are, this intermarried couple, you moving in this direction of becoming more Jewish, in this tension that, was part of the book. Thank God it has a happy ending. I think it does. I suppose it has. Okay. But I'm saying at one point in the book, it kind of seems that this marriage may not last. So how did that work?
How did that work?
It sounded like a very difficult part of your life. And how long did that last for until you started to kind of, move in the next direction?
I can't remember, actually. I think we've got the dates of the book, but I'm not remembering right offhand.
Could be, you're right.
It was years. Definitely years. Uh-huh. And I like to make the point of, as you mentioned this, I like to make the point of, if anybody were to look at our book and think, this means it's okay to intermarry because, the other person can just convert, the non-Jew can convert, and everything will be fine. Well, it's not the road that I would recommend to anyone because it's, I would never promote intermarriage, let me just put it that way. But I think it's important that if, because of people where they are spiritually when they get married, if they end up marrying, if a Jew who just is totally assimilated ends up marrying a non-Jew, I think it points out, however, that even though you would not want that to happen and you would try to keep that from happening as much as possible, that if it does happen, which it's happening, Harold, at what rate?
there's about 600,000 or 700,000 intermarried families in America as we speak.
So if and when it does happen with these people, you know, it is possible that this couple, this Jew, is not totally lost, because it is possible that this couple might choose to make this long journey, long and difficult journey,
right.
And in that way, you know, not only we were just talking about ourselves, for example, you know, if we had not taken this journey, not only would Harold have been lost to Judaism, but our children and myself, you know, would not be a part of the Jewish people. It's something that just for people to keep in mind, you know. Don't just abandon someone who might happen, even though, you know, you don't want them to. If someone does happen to marry a non-Jew, don't just throw that person away, because there is a possibility of light at the end of the tunnel.
But it was pretty clear, Gail, it was pretty clear in the book that, you know, you weren't going to convert because your spouse was Jewish and wanted you to convert. As so many of the conversions that we find today are, you know, my spouse wants me to do it, and so therefore I'll do it. You wanted to do this on your own. You wanted to be able to come on your own and determine that this is something that was meant to be, correct?
Right. Well, in fact, Harold makes that point also of, you know, I don't want you to convert just to save the marriage. And that kind of added extra pressure, because I really had to think it through. And there were a lot of things going on in my life that had to change. I'm a performer. I'm a musician. And, you know, so you're talking about, okay, for 25 hours every week, I'm not doing my craft. You know, I'm not performing. And that was just one thing, you know, everything else that you talk about taking on. And I have to confess that those were the things that were the biggest obstacles. The faith part actually was easy for me.
Okay.
Because I always had a strong faith in Hashem. But when I realized that a lot of my participation in church work really had evolved into the joy I got out of the music, and because I was performing major works, I was conducting and performing, you know, Mozart and Verdi and you know, all the big composers, and I realized that that's what I really was getting out of this church work. And then I found myself actually at one point even only choosing anthems for my church choir. I was choosing only anthems based on Hebrew scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized I was doing that just because of my comfort level, I thought, oh, I hope they don't figure this out.
Okay. But now, talking about being fulfilled, I mean, you know, reading the book, once again, it's pretty obvious that, you know, you are an extremely talented person. Music is a major part of your life. So now, now that you're an observant Orthodox Jewish woman, do you find outlets? I mean, are you able to do that? What happened?
Well, yes. I mean, there are a lot of different possibilities, but the things I'm primarily doing at this point are I'm teaching privately out of our house, and then I also teach at a gap year program in Jerusalem, and it's for women who are, you know, just graduated from high school, and then they want to spend a year in Israel. And this is, it's kind of like a seminary where in the mornings they study Judaics, and then in the afternoons they can choose between music and art. And so I'm on the music faculty for that. And then there's also a theater company, an all-women theater company, that actually even just performs for women here in Gush Etzion, that I've been the music director for the last two productions, and I've also performed in those. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's really great.
There are a lot more options, actually, in Israel than in the United States.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that. What about you, Harold? What are you doing these days?
Right now, I'm actually the director of development for a yeshiva in Jerusalem. I was, before we made Aliyah, I was the executive director of a Jewish federation. So coming here to Israel, you know, staying sort of in that fundraising administrative realm, you know, made sense. So that's what I'm doing now.
And what's the name of the yeshiva?
It's Chappelle's Darkei Noam. Fairly well known.
Okay, right. So you travel a lot, come to the States.
I travel for them a fair amount.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, why did you decide to move to Efrat, by the way? Why was that the choice?
When we decided we were going to make Aliyah, we went to the Nefesh B'Nefesh website, which I recommend that anyone do if they're thinking about making Aliyah, and they have a whole directory of communities. And we were looking for a community that was, you know, largely Dati, fair number of Anglos, near Jerusalem, good schools, and that gave us a pretty short list. And when Efrat was one of the four I think we looked at, and when we came here, it felt like home.
Really? Okay, well, that's great. That's really, really great. Now, so what happens to the book? So you wrote the book, and now are you going out speaking about it on a tour, or what's going on?
We haven't done that yet in the U.S. We've definitely been doing some speaking in Israel. I actually did do a program. I was in the States about a month ago. I did a program at the Lincoln Square Synagogue. But we're looking at putting together like a U.S. speaking tour. But it's right now it's just in the works. It hasn't happened yet. And, you know, there's people reviewing our books online. We're doing, you know, interviews like this one. Right. And the feedback we've gotten on the book, truthfully, has been phenomenal. I mean, I think it's actually been a surprise to us, you know, people from all walks of life. That they've been able to relate to, you know, one or another part of the story.
Yeah.
Who do you recommend? What's the prime audience for this book?
Well, that's what I was just going to talk about. What's almost been surprising to us, because we thought, okay, so the people who are going to buy this book are either people thinking about converting, or people who have converted, or people who have intermarried folks in their family. But we've found out that there's a far wider net. There have been Christians who have read our book who have said it's caused them to want to do more Bible study. And there are people who have been groomed from birth who said, you know, it helped me just appreciate my faith even more. And then, of course, people who are Baal Teshuva, and they said, it reminded me of why I became religious. And so it's really been rewarding to hear that it's been meaningful to a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds.
No, it's really, really good. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the program. I highly recommend it. So now, where do people, if they want to contact you, what do they do? Email? What?
If they want to contact us, we have a website up. It's www.doublelifejourney.com, and they can contact us directly through the website. There's also, I'll just give the email address directly. It's info@doublelifejourney.com. And if people want to order the book, it is available through Barnes & Noble, but the easiest way is really just to order it from Amazon.
Great. Wonderful. Well, listen, I enjoyed reading it. I'm sure the people out in the audience are going to enjoy it also. One Family, Two Faiths in a Journey of Hope, Double Life, Harold and Gail Berman, and Living in Efrat, Israel. And remarkable, remarkable story. Continue. You're inspirational. You're inspirational because I think that the journey was so difficult, and you did it in such a logical way, in a sense, thinking carefully, you know, coordinating it, and doing it, you know, in a way where you already were spiritual people, which I think a lot of people are, and you really put it into practical use. So thank you so much. I appreciate you being on the program. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good day.